Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a multi-generational knitting production. This is episode 551 and is sponsored by Acreworks, The Barmaids, Erin Lane Bags, Infinite Twist, and Knit Companion. This week's segments include On the Needles,
Events,
In Stitches,
Mother Knows Best,
When Knitting Attacks,
and so on. Grab your knitting, pull up a chair, and start your row.
Welcome, welcome. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome to the show. And if you're a returning listener, thank you very much for coming back. It seems that in more than 551 episodes, I neglected to push the record button, which is funny to me, but also points out that no matter how often you do something, you're going to mess it up sometimes. So that being said, how's it going this week, Mom?
It is excellent, lovey. I am recovering from the cold I got from your lovely children.
Ah, the cutest vectors in the world.
Yes, they are. And I'm still a bit snarfly and congested sounding, but I'm feeling really good and I'm excited about recording today. And it is Monday and I love Mondays because there's a whole week of possibilities.
Ahead of you.
Ahead of me.
Marvelous.
And I have school later, so I'm excited.
You've got a lot going on.
I do.
Excellent. Well, then let's talk about what we're working on. Would you like to talk about... I'm relatively monogamous right now.
Okay, then let me start. I'm still working on Perfect Vacation Yarn.
It's Regia.
Regia, yes. And they're getting closer. All of them are getting closer to the point where I need to stick my foot template in them, and when it reaches the little toe on the foot template, then I'm good to go to start the toe decreases.
Cool.
Yes.
That's useful.
Yes.
I am working on the test knit for the Petite Knitter. This is the Cotton Grass Jumper. I'm sorry, she's the Petite Knitter on Instagram. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm working on this in Malabrigo Worsted. It's their classic singles yarn in fuchsia and black. And I'm only semi-regretting making the color of the body black. But I think it'll be visually really striking. And I had enough to make a whole sweater in black Malabrigo. Because sometimes I make questionable choices when I buy yarn. It's fine yarn. It's just hard to see. Also, I bought it before. So if you're a longtime listener, I'm coming up on 37 this year. And my optometrist about 10 years ago said, by the time you're 37 or 38, you won't be able to see navy blue or black yarn anymore. So there you go. So I'm having an interesting time working on this project. I'm also feeling a tremendous amount of pressure to get this done on time. And this isn't anything... Why? It's not external pressure. It's internal pressure because I was down sick for a week and I was too sick to knit. We were too sick to sit up and record. So I lost a week and I'm trying to get this done in time and it needs to be blocked and photographed. And like ultimately, if I don't finish it on time, I will just be very disappointed. Like the real... Managing this in a realistic way is not helping with my anxiety about worrying about getting it done on time. So what I've learned from this is that while I am enthusiastic about doing the test knit, I'm enjoying the process and the whole thing, the time is just, it's too tight for me. It's easier for me to just do it on my own schedule and enjoy the process that way because I don't want to let anyone down.
Yes.
And I want to do my best work. And you know what I mean? I want everything to be just so. So, that being said, this is one of the pieces I'm doing for the hashtag MyRyanBipoc sweater. There's a Ravelry group for this. And there's also the hashtag BipocMal2019, the BIPOC make along. And this will hit both of those. And then I can work on a different one because I have the swatch for my Severine done and ready to go, so I can start that, which was going to be my Rheinbach BIPOC sweater before I got excited about something new. But this one, I worked on the sleeve yesterday and I got more than half the sleeve done yesterday.
Already?
Yeah, I picked up the sleeve. Yeah, I'm telling you, like making a sweater in worsted weight is pretty terrific as far as speed is concerned. We'll see how often I get to wear it, but it'll be beautiful. And when I start to freeze in the wintertime, this will be This will be a really good one. This is another one that it's going to be hard to wear around, because when you have a, like, this is the same issue I had with the twist cardigan that I did in lime green. It's a very distinctive sweater. If I, the one I did for Megan, I could probably wear and go under the radar because it was like a heathered hunter green. It was not so in your face that people were like, you're wearing that lime sweater like three times in the same week.
Yeah, the lime sweater is,
it's very distinctive. It's a beacon. Yeah, and this one is too. But that fuchsia is just, I have lipstick that matches, so I'm very excited. And that's really what making sweaters is about, is matching
your accessories. Your sweater to your lipstick.
Something like that. All right, what else do you have? What have you got on the needles?
So you were talking about sweaters. So I've been working on the body of my Rocky Coast cardigan, and it is sitting on my dressmaker's form. And I was reading my design textbook yesterday, and they talked about garments that open in the front and hang like in a reversed V. And I don't enjoy it. They were talking about bathrobes and coats and what, and they had a solution for fixing that.
Which is?
So you add fabric, you draw a line from the waist to the hemline and add inches at the hem. So you get a V-shaped extra, reverse inverted V extra of fabric.
Okay. Kind of like a, not a gusset, but a,
yeah,
like a gore.
Something like that. And the extra fabric that you have will make it hang straight.
Excellent.
Yeah. I like it
when things work together.
I'm learning stuff in sewing that I can use from my knitting.
That's excellent.
Which, of course, is kind of late for this one.
You're not going to rip it back again and do that?
I'm not going to rip it back again.
Okay. That seems reasonable.
But it would have been so much easier than trying to figure out how to cheat and add in stitches to accommodate the hips. But you know what?
But now you know it.
The hips needed it anyway.
Yeah.
So, yes. So, victory.
That's nice.
Yes.
All right, cool.
What have you been working on?
I made some progress on my Vanilla is the New Black socks, and the yarn on that is White Birch Fiber Arts self-striping in A Study in Peach Mint. And those are just my drag-along socks that I'm working on here and there because my sweater was not in a place where I could get it. Did I talk about the jacquard floats?
No!
Let me talk about this sweater. And something I really love is learning new things and being able to like level up my knitting.
Yeah.
Part of that is because we talk about our knitting and I want it to be interesting week over week. So let me rewind. We were at knitting group and one of the members of our knitting group made a Star Wars hat or a couple of Star Wars hats for her nephews. And she was talking about jacquard floats. So that was bloop. And
what
she said,
"Is a jacquard float?"
It's a float that you do in Fair Isle when you have like one stitch in the middle of 15 stitches and you don't want to capture the float every five stitches in a row all the way up. Because if you have a big block of open space, you're going to end up with your floats peeking through when you catch them, when you catch the floats the conventional way that I've been taught how to do it by the Philosopher's Wool people. Jacquard floats is basically you build in double knitting to hold your floats when you're not using your contrast color. So it's like a round of double knitting behind it. And then you just use it for the main color when it pops up. So that's how it attaches to the sweater. Instead of being like traditional double knitting where it's two layers that are sealed at the top and the bottom, but not really otherwise. They're theoretically separated except where the contrast colors are. You're giving me a look.
Yeah, I'm... Is there a video?
Yes, there are many videos.
Good, because this I can't visualize.
So I watched one tutorial video, which was terrible, and it's terrible because I'm good at following directions. This mm-hmm. is something that is part of my skill set, generally speaking. And I totally messed it up. And I ended up having to rip it back and fake it for that piece, which I was not delighted by. But one of our other friends from Knitting Group was hearing me talk about jacquard floats and wanting to use them for my descent cardigan. And she came up and she's like, here's how I did them. And she gave me a rundown. And I said, I'm sorry, this isn't going to stick. I have to read the directions and do it as I go.
Mm-hmm.
And so she sent me the link to the Sock Madness thing, which I've linked to in my Cotton Grass Jumper project page for jacquard floats. I've linked to the Ravelry tutorial in my project page. And following those directions, I did fine. And they're beautiful. Like, look at this. It's beautiful. Not you, listeners. If you want to look at it, you can go on Instagram. I posted it on Instagram yesterday with the yoke of my sweater inside out in order for people to see it. See what it looks like? Pretty little knit stitches on the inside?
Yeah.
Those are my jacquard floats.
Huh. Yeah, I need to see that this is...
And the front...
Even looking at it...
Is beautiful.
The front is beautiful.
And there's
beautiful.
No pink peeking through the black.
There isn't.
It's stunning. And so I still have my tundra jumper, which is almost at the yoke, and I need to do the sleeves on that before I can do the fun part and do the color work for the yoke. But that one I needed jacquard floats for too, but now I know how to do it, so mm-hmm. I'm on fire. So I'm really delighted in that, and it was a really good tutorial on how to do the... It makes such a big difference, right? Finding mm-hmm. the right tutorial where people explain things well, because being able to give clear directions is a specific skill set.
It is.
You know? So mm-hmm. I'm delighted. I also, my picture on Instagram, so the pictures on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and I think Tumblr. So whichever one is your preferred thing that you do, you can see the picture, because I also switched which color was in my dominant hand when it stopped being the main color, like looking like the main color. So you start... This sweater has a couple of variations, but the one I did, you start it in the contrast color, and then it just kind of fades, and it doesn't fade. It works its way into the main color. And so I looked at where the chart was predominantly the main color, which is black for me, and I said, okay, that's where I'm going to switch dominant hands. And when you look at the inside of my sweater, and I will turn this because I don't think you saw the picture, when you look at it, you can see where I switched which color was in my dominant hand.
You can absolutely see it in the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and you can see it on the front too, which one is in my dominant hand, because one of them pops more than the other. Interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these are all things I have learned over the years from blogs. I learned about color dominance and not handedness, but like color dominance in Fair Isle Knitting on Isolde's blog maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. I'm probably getting this date completely wrong, but we'll link to it in the show notes because I had never considered it before. And I kind of switched hands all willy-nilly depending on which one had more stitches.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yes. Do you remember when you were in elementary school? Or maybe not for you, but when we were in elementary school, there was a thing where you would write, today is, what's today? Monday, September 23rd. This is a sample of my very best handwriting. And then you would check it at the end of the school year against June whatever. And mm-hmm. then you would say, my goodness, look at how far I've come. That's how I kind of feel about this. All right. So that is that. You have more.
Yes. So remember last week I said I totally blanked on how to do the Kitchener stitch?
Mm-hmm.
I love doing a knitted Kitchener stitch. And I don't know what was wrong and what my brain was caught on,
mm-hmm.
but I took it out the other day and grafted the toe with a knitted Kitchener stitch, and it took all of, what, 5 minutes.
Oh, excellent.
Yes, so that got done. What else are you working on?
That's it. But you've got more.
I do. I knitted another stripe on my Joker and the Thief shawl.
From the hashtag Big Bad Bergalong?
Yes, and it has 6 colors that you work through, and then you reverse it, and you go, after going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and so, yeah. So I'm on the last color, and it needs to go backwards again. And I was taking pictures of the progress, and I think I should post them on Instagram.
Okay. I think I am all on board for that.
Yes.
We have one more thing we want to talk about for this week's episode.
Yes. So there are refugees coming from the Congo.
And Angola.
And they're going to land in somewhere very cold. Where are they
landing?
New England. Oh, dear. Yes, it's cold there. And I don't think they have that kind of weather. And
also, they're refugees and they're coming with very little. So we will be collecting hats for the Maine Access Immigrant Network. Clara Parks linked this in her Instagram. We will be including this in our show notes as well. But we were talking about this because we had some nice people, some companies send us yarn for refugee hats when we started doing it for 25,000 Tukes, and we had some left in the bin for refugee hats. So we had stuff from Infinite Twist. We had stuff from, who was the other one who sent us yarn for this stuff? We had stuff from Berry Colorful Yarnings and Lisa Souza.
Mm-hmm.
And so the knitting group collected stuff on Saturday, and they'll be coming back with finished hats, and I'll be shipping stuff off as we go, even though I hate going to the post office. We will still be doing this. But then we had a couple of ideas, and you were going to share them.
Well, I thought if you remember the chain letters when you were a child, and it says, send this to 10 of your friends.
Yes.
So I thought we should do that and send letters to 10 of our friends asking them for a refugee hat and asking them to send this letter to 10 of their friends.
So not to be a slightly more modern version of this, but isn't that what social media is?
Oh, as in
tag some friends in your picture and hopefully get them to...
That is even better.
And there are so many good hat patterns to knit. They're fun ones. There are sedate ones. They need a lot of kids stuff. And I believe they're asking for mittens as well. We'll link to Clara's post along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes. But a friend of mine was talking about how to filter for specific yarn and specific patterns. And I said, well, you know, usually if I'm in the mood to knit a kid's hat, I start with Woolly Warm Heads patterns because they are delightful. Mm-hmm. And they're fun to knit. And they're so cute. They're so so cute.
And practical.
Very
convenient
practical.
And comfortable.
All the things. And I said I usually start with her name as the designer, and then I use the Ravelry pattern filters to filter down for either kids or adults, and then down again for whichever yarn I'm looking to do.
Huh.
So you don't have to have such tight requirements as I do, but I mean, that was just an example because a friend of mine was asking, well, how do I find the right hat to do? And I said, well, this is what I do. So best of luck. So anyway, do you want to mention anything else about this? Or is that it for now?
So we talked to our knitting group and they took yarn for that. They also took yarn for the layette. Do you want to talk about that?
That's right, for True North Hearts and Hands donations. And let's talk about that in events because okay. We've got that in there. So let's move on to the next segment. And now a quick word from our sponsors. We all have it. We all snicker about it. Fun fur. Whether it's eyelash boucle or just generally furry, it's hard to find projects for novelty yarn. With a sweet face, spiraling horns, and delightfully rotund body, Friendsheep by Kate Carter Evans lets you transform your novelty and textured yarns into sweet, fleecy little friends. Pattern available on Ravelry. More info at infinitetwist.com. Mother dearest.
Love it.
What events will you be participating in and attending in the near future?
So we have the hashtag Choose Your Own Adventure Cal ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the hashtag MyRyanBipoc Sweater ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the BIPOC Mal 2019.
19. This year.
Yes. So this is the BIPOC Make Along, mm-hmm. 2019, and that runs from September through November. PIQF, Pacific International Quilt Fest, runs from October 17th to 20th at the Santa Clara Convention Center. There's Lambtown. Are we going to Lambtown?
Undecided. It looks like it's October 5th and 6th.
So that's a definite maybe.
It's a definite maybe.
And then there is the True North Hearts and Hands Donations. And you wanted to talk about that?
So they changed the guidelines on that. You no longer have to submit a completed layette. You can if you want to, but to take the pressure off of people, they're saying you can send it to this other place and they'll connect it with the rest of the pieces.
Oh, good.
So if you like to sew baby blankets, but you have no desire to make a nightgown, sew till your fingers cannot sew anymore. If you like to make nightgowns, but you don't like to knit, do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you only like to make baby hats or baby hats and sweaters, absolutely go for it. I will post the updated information to the episode show notes because I saw it on Instagram this morning when I was waking up. So I wanted to start with that. And then you wanted to talk about what we are doing.
Yes. We decided with our knitting group, we are going to do a half marathon to work on a baby layette. And half marathon, as defined by me, is not 24 hours because they did a 24-hour thing at Pearlescence.
Yes, for Halos of Hope, the Halos of Hopeathon.
And that was too much.
For you?
Yes.
They enjoyed it.
Well, it was also a lot for the people who participated in it. And at our advanced age, doing an all-nighter
is excessive.
It's excessive, yes. So we're doing a
12-hour.
10 to 10?
10 to 10, yep.
At my house, and we are going to have different stations. There are going to be people lounging on the couches.
And we'll have movies going on the projector if you're sitting in the living room.
And then we are going to have sewing machines and sergers set up for people who want to work on nightgowns and blankets and stuff.
Yep.
Because we are going to make double layered
swaddling blankets like we did for my kids.
Yes. And how much did you use those? We used those every day.
And I think we still have fabric for more of those.
Yep, we do.
Did you like how I was going to give a number and then I thought better of it? More of those.
We do. And yeah. Some of them are ready cut.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, that makes it faster, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What I really like about this is that it's in the spirit of like old-fashioned barn raisings and quilting bees and things like that. And in the same spirit, we should do it like a potluck and have everyone bring a little something to share.
That's a good idea.
If we have people bring snacks to share, I think it'll be easier, and then we can just order in food.
Yes, because I'm not going to cook.
No, I'm not cooking either.
No.
Though theoretically, I could throw something in the Instant Pot and have it bubbling away. If we have one going for lunch and one going for dinner, we could theoretically do that. Let's brainstorm on that later.
Or we could set up crock pots.
That would also work. All right. So this is what is happening and what's going on. I hope if you have a regular group that you go to or that you remotely call into, this is something you could do with your remote crafting group as well. One person makes the hat, one person makes the sweater. You're sewing enthusiast because every group has at least one of those, I have noticed. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good way of breaking it up and getting to do it. Alrighty, is that it?
That's it.
Let's move on to the next segment. And now a word from our sponsors. Carry your creativity with Erin Lane Bags. Whether you show your fiber fandom with Woolly Wonder Sheepleverse or dive into history with the Curiosities Collection, our project bags, totes, and hook and needle organizers are at the ready to keep your hobby happy. You can find links to Erin Lane along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes. Can I tell you how excited I am that we've got a hint of fall? Because I made two sweaters this summer.
You did.
And I'm on the way to finishing a couple of other ones because my Polworth is nearly there. I have like this much of the body left. This much is a one handspan. So, and that's including the ribbing. It's so close to being wearable and ready to go. So, I wore my sprig pullover on Wednesday of last week, which I did not talk. And then I also wore my woven wrap, which I talked about in last week's episode.
Yes.
But I wore my sprig to Genevieve's school, and the kids, they see me working on stuff all the time. Because usually between things, I pull out my knitting so I can wait quietly and not just be plugged into my phone, because I'm trying to do less of that. But more than that, I really like wearing stuff that I've made, because you know who's amazingly appreciative and very candid with their opinions? Our elementary school kids.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, this wasn't the latter. It was the former, where they were very nice about it and they were very candid and filled my bucket till it overflowed.
So what did they tell you?
That's a beautiful sweater. And one of the girls in Genevieve's class said, I bet you made that. And I said, I did make that. And then someone else said, you did a really nice job. You must be really good at that. And I said, yes, I am. And so, and then a couple of the parents complimented me and some of the people in the office. Because when you work on a campus, when you're volunteering, you do circulate a bit. And I worked to teach that night. And one of the moms posted, like, I was admiring that sweater all night. I should have known you made it. So it's such a, again, a distinctive piece. And
which one is it?
The Sprague Pullover in Squash Blossom Yellow.
Squash Blossom Yellow by Lisa Souza.
Yes.
Who designed it?
The sweater? Alana yes. Dacos.
Yes.
And I might make another one in a more sedate color, though I don't know what I would do it in, because like a rust would be pretty, a rusty orange.
Gray would be good.
It's leaves. Leaves don't come in gray. If there was like a birch sweater, I would do it in gray. I don't know what a birch sweater would look like. I'm sure Alana would think of one that would be brilliant. But because all of her foliage themed things, just they speak to my heart, right? But I finished it and I'm wearing it. And I, are you, do you want to hear how I'm going to make it blend into my wardrobe so people don't notice it? I'm going to make so many things in Squash Blossom Yellow that people can't tell them apart.
Okay.
Because it's my favorite color and I still have, it took one in a fraction skeins of the Lisa Souza Superwash.
Mm-hmm.
So I still have 1.5 left because when I started it, my bust measurement was 4 inches bigger than my current measurement because I lost some muscle mass in my chest.
Because you're not
lifting and carrying Rex in the Tula carrier. A Tula carrier is like a backpack, but they have a baby backpack, but they have them for toddlers and they're big. And Rex is one order of magnitude bigger than Genevieve was at the same age. So that said, he started to outgrow the Ergo baby carrier that we had with Genevieve. And so I happened to be at the grocery store and someone walked up to me because he was doing the octopus thing. This was several years ago. But she came up and she said, oh, I see that you've got an octopus baby. And I thought, oh, goodness. Because sometimes when people approach you in public places and you have small children, the people aren't very kind about it. And I braced myself to smile and thank her for her feedback. And she said, you might want to try a Tula toddler. That way he won't be able to knock you over. I loved mine. And then off went this angel of information. And so I talked to a girlfriend of mine who has similarly aged kids. And she was like, oh, yeah, it's great. You know, let me figure out if I'm still using mine or not. And if I'm not, I'll send it your way. And she still was. So I ordered one. And I used it almost every day for 2 years. So we got a lot of use out of it, and I retired it because I can't carry Rex anymore. He's just too heavy for me to carry on my back. But as soon as I stopped carrying him, everything just sort of reproportioned itself, and I lost 4 inches of muscle mass. And this isn't across my bust exactly. It's the underarm measurement that Amy Herzog talks about. High bust. Thank you. So it was muscle mass that found its way home. So I ripped it out because I only had a hand span of knitting done and I started it again. Now, I also added 2 inches to the underarm because a 5-inch armhole depth is not even close to enough for me, even with a fitted sweater. So I used a little bit more yardage there and I think the rest of it was done as I went. And it's all in my project page, which we'll link to in the show notes. But I was thinking I could make something else with the yellow. So it's less apparent. Obvious. Like, would it be less obvious? I don't know. I was thinking about doing a yoked sweater. Maybe one of the Petite Knitters ones, maybe somebody else's, because there's so many beautiful patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Because I still have the Anna Blue, which sings with the Squash Blossom Yellow. And I have a little bit of pink left over. And then I thought if I order one skein of like a lime green, it would be colored like a hummingbird. There are these hummingbirds I've seen pictures of that are this bright blue with the green chests and a little tiny bit of yellow and a tiny bit of pink at the end of their feathers. I'm not a bird person, but I'm sure there's a bird person who's like, it's a green-bellied thrush or whatever. And then now they're yelling because the thrush is a totally different kind of bird. See? Mm. I'm making people yell at their vehicles. It's a good day. So that's what I'm thinking of doing with the leftovers, because I'm super, super into using what I have right now so that I can make space and not consume as much. This will last all of 10 minutes, but I'm trying it this week. All right, so it's a lot of talking to say. I wore my sprig and I love it, and I'm debating either making everything in that color so that it doesn't stick out or using the leftovers in something else.
You know, when I was knitting everything in red, I wore my reds.
I don't know that red is as...
in your face?
Which is a funny thing to say, right? Because in nature, well, I mean, in nature, reds, yellows, greens, orange, all these bright colors that I like are all warning colors. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm already equipped in my stash to make more sweaters in the same yellow, because I may have over the years bought that same or a very, very similar yellow in at least two other yarn companies' yarns. So theoretically, I could have a wardrobe. And it was in last year, 2 years ago, Squash Blossom Yellow was the Pantone color. I don't know if it was the Pantone color, but you could find it everywhere.
Okay.
Which made me the happiest woman on the planet. I have yellow pants. I have bright yellow pants. They are fabulous. I had a friend talking to me, speaking of colors and things. Because here's the thing, is if everything in your wardrobe is a bright color, is it as noticeable? Do you hide these things in like noise? You know, you have white noise, but it's not quiet, but it covers the noise, so it makes it effectively quiet.
You have color noise.
Color noise, yeah. If everything is noisy, do you notice it as much? If someone is perpetually a peacock, as some of us might be in our hearts, do you notice? I don't know. We're philosophizing a bit. Did you wear anything this week?
Well, right now, I'm wearing my A-line skirt that I made in my beginning sewing class at West Valley. And the reason I keep wearing this on Mondays is because Mondays is my fitting class, and I need to be able to take off my skirt and be fitted for my sloper. And most of us in this class are walking around in various states of undress. And a slip, yes. So I guess I'll be wearing this A-line skirt every Monday until we move on to working on the tops.
But nobody's going to notice. You know why? Because it's a black denim skirt.
Yeah, it's comfortable, and I want to have beautiful. 10 more of
it's
these.
It's beautiful. I have fabric that I bought before Genevieve was even a gleam. And it's 1-inch houndstooth checks, but it's lime green and black.
I remember.
I still have the fabric.
Yes.
I can't wear that once a week without people noticing. I'm just going
to
point out.
We bought that for you to at make Mood. A suit at Mood. Yeah.
There isn't, I think we bought 2 yards of it. We should find it. If you want to sew me a skirt out of it, I would love to wear it. It needs to be a straight skirt though, because the pattern lends itself to 40s and 50s styling and is really, it's heavy suiting fabric. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Well, as long as you don't want me to make you a jacket.
No, just the skirt. I'm going to make a top to go with it. Because here's the thing. I think if you sew me something, it's not unreasonable for me to say, I would like to make something to match this for the top. You know what I mean?
Ever need reason to knit something?
Yes, but it feels more intentional. You know how I am.
I do.
I'm wired this way. 551 episodes. This is just how I'm wired. All right. Do we have anything else?
Not at this stage.
All right. Let's move on to the next segment. But first, a quick word from our sponsors. No matter what you need, the Barmaids have you covered from head to toe. Face pudding to keep you smiling, Lolo lips to keep them kissable, probiotic deodorant for keeping you fresh as a rose, O for feet sake to keep your feet soft and sandal ready, and the Lolo body bar for everything in between. You can find all this and more at bar-maids.com.
This week for Mother Knows Best, we are going to talk about seasonal change routines.
It's fall.
Yes, it is.
I believe fall was 2 days ago.
September 21st?
Correct.
Excellent.
Happy, yes. Happy fall, everyone. Pull out all your woolens.
It seems too warm in this neck of the woods to do that just now.
Somebody posted a very funny meme.
Mm-hmm.
That was about weather in California fall. In the morning, you bundle up in all your woolens, and then late morning, you take off your sweater, and then afternoon, you just swelter, so dress appropriately. So this morning, it was 58 degrees when we walked to school, and it will be 86 degrees, which is a lie. It'll be 90 this afternoon. It's always 90 when they say it's 86.
Okay.
It's going to be very hot this afternoon. So we do dress in layers. I wore shorts and a t-shirt and a cardigan. So, okay. But we're starting our fall things. So what do we do for our seasonal change routine?
What I used to do when I was more of a clothes horse is I would have a suitcase for my out-of-season clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the beginning of the new season, I would go through the suitcase and see what I still liked. And if I took something out of the suitcase and it was, ew, why are you still in my clothes? That would go to the donation pile. And also another thing that I like to do is I like, at the beginning of the season, I like to hang stuff that is in my closet, hanging from hangers, not knitwear, with the hangers facing the wrong direction. So when I take it out and wear it and put it back in, I can easily see which garments I haven't worn.
That's a very effective technique. Do you launder your stuff, your knits, when you pull them out of storage? Or do you just leave them because you laundered them at the end of the last season?
I don't put stuff away that hasn't been laundered.
That's good because it is the oils from our skin and hair
mm-hmm.
that seem to attract creepy crawlies and other things.
And food that we've spilled and not
noticed.
Not yeah. noticed, yeah. So yeah, stuff doesn't get put away dirty.
Okay.
How about you?
We have a hand wash basket, which I do not get through as quickly as I would like by any stretch of the imagination. But Genevieve has expressed an interest in learning how to hand wash stuff. So, and it's not terribly labor intensive to do. You soak it, you wring it out with a towel, and then you lay it out to dry. This is not, why are some things hard? I don't have answers. But she's interested in doing it. So I tend to try and pick through the hand wash basket and see what looks like it's still going to fit. And this year we have stuff being retired into the sweater chest for the future, because we've got a couple of things that both kids have outgrown and that can't be worn because they're just too big for them. So they're going to go into the cedar lined sweater chest I got years ago and wait for them to have kids or not have kids. And then we'll move them on to the next thing. Because remember, Andrew's thing is anything I make for the kids, I can't give away because they might want it someday, which is fine. Once the chest is full, he might reevaluate and the kids will reevaluate which ones are their favorites and which ones are not. So that's mine. I'm hopefully going to be able to utilize Genevieve's help this year in getting more of the hand wash stuff knocked out and back in drawers. So yeah, and I'm hoping to mend a couple of things that need a couple of stitches caught and patched. And I'm going to look at some of the visible mending stuff for that because I'm really excited about trying it. And then the other thing is if it's not something I love anymore, find a new home for it because I can give my own stuff away just fine. But
anything that I sewed for you,
yeah,
feel free to give away. I can always make more.
I have never worried about that at all. I'm also planning to keep you around for a really long time. So anyway, mend the stuff that needs mending, wash stuff that needs washing, air everything out, because if it's been in storage, it might smell a little musty. And I love the idea of if it doesn't spark joy, let it go.
I like to store my stuff with cloves.
Yes.
It has a strong smell that doesn't attract critters or repels critters.
But it does smell like delicious pumpkin spices. Because mm-hmm. remember, pumpkin spice is just the stuff you put in pumpkin pie.
Yes.
And cloves are one of those.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is that it?
That's it.
Let's move on to the next segment. And now a quick word from our sponsors. So you already know about the AcreWorks Yarn Caddy Kit. Now we're adding a little twist for you. Introducing the AcreWorks Butterfly Kate, designed to fold into itself, making it incredibly easy to pack in a bag and take on any adventure. The Butterfly Kate has a wooden base, a carbon fiber shaft with two angle settings, a nifty pattern holder, and our patent-pending Tensi Tamer gizmo to keep everything in place and select your desired tension. It's designed either for use with our yarn caddy or as a single shaft lazy Kate for use with spinning bobbins. AcreWorks. We like making things.
It's when knitting attacks.
So, Mom, how's your knitting treating you this week?
Okay.
I had a slight flub.
I've just have things falling off the needles because I have too many stitches on my Roky Coast cardigan, but that's...
Would you like to see my very fancy solution for that? It's so high-tech, it's going to blow your mind.
Take a longer needle?
No. When it's not actively being knitted, I use a hair tie. So this is one of those elastic... It's made from, like, nylons. And they're the non-hair-pulling ones.
Oh, okay.
So... And we still have a handful of long hair things. Genevieve has her own hair things, but this is from when I had long hair, which has been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while.
It's been a while. So... But I was working on my cotton grass jumper, and I was working on it in the evenings because I didn't have a lot of time during the day. And something I really like about it is how the pattern flows. It has good rhythm. Well, maybe one of the rows didn't have a really good, I couldn't catch the rhythm of that row, but the rest of it is very, it feels good to knit. The cadence and the thing is good. So I hold it up to show Andrew the yoke so that he can admire it in the way that you are supposed to when someone holds up their knitting. And I see right in the middle of the chest a glaring error. Do you see it? Once I show you, you won't be able to unsee it.
Yeah, it's missing.
I missed a stitch.
Yeah.
So I didn't drop it.
Oh, dear.
I just knit it in the wrong color. So I have to go back and duplicate stitch it in. But I thought... how many Farrell sweaters have I knitted? How many charts have I followed? Like, how did I manage to do that? Because I didn't notice on the next round, which is usually when I catch those mistakes. And the thing I really like about the Philosopher's Wool technique for carrying your floats and doing Farrell is that if you miss a stitch and do it in the wrong color, you drop it down and you pick it up in the float yarn and it's fine.
It's fine, yeah.
And it's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's right in the front driving me absolutely bonkers because I should probably just fix it now while I'm staring at it instead of waiting for the whole sweater to be done.
Or put a...
A pin in it?
A pin in it.
It's not like it was hard to find. It's center front because that's where you make all your mistakes. Is in the center front of your garment. All right. So you're good?
I'm good.
Let's move on to the next segment. And now a quick word from our sponsors. Have you ever had to frog because you forgot a step, several rows back, or lost your spot because you dropped your magnet board or lost track with your highlighter tape? Instead of wrestling with paper, use the Knit Companion app. It keeps you on track so you can knit more and frog less. Knit Companion works with all of your patterns and is available for Apple, Android, and Kindle Fire devices. You can find links to Knit Companion along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes. How is your sewing treating you this week?
Oh, excellent.
Tell me.
In my sewing class at Kanyada College, we're still working on muslins and we're fine-tuning it. So I got notes to put in, take out an eighth of an inch on the center back and then taper the side seam down to the new hip line. And my hip line was put where my actual hip line is. It was like an inch and an eighth higher than the hip line on the pattern. So it's going to be fine-tuned and I'm going to be so thrilled with it. And then is my couture embellishment class at West Valley College. And I turned in an applique sampler. And sampler is a loose term. It's different techniques that I've been working on.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't think that putting Wonder Under, can I say?
Sure.
Brand name? Okay, so Wonder Under makes regular fabric into iron-on patches. And I don't think that is really...
the best way of doing it?
A good way of doing applique.
I mean, it's fast.
That it is. So... and then I had more time and I did another technique and turned it all in. So that was done. And the next thing do is a quilting technique sampler. And I've fiddled with a regular 9-patch square.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing I have to work on is a crazy quilt patch.
Haven't you done that before? Like many years ago?
I don't think I ever did crazy quilt.
Mm.
I also don't think I ever did a 9-patch. I did a 9-patch on the Stairway to Heaven.
Cat one.
Cat quilt.
Yeah.
Yes. And... turns out I have one square too many in the border around it, so it doesn't hang straight.
It's a bit askew.
Yeah, so I need to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, it's fine. So yeah, we're working on it.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like we've come to the end of our row. This week, we'd like to thank Acreworks, The Barmaids, Erin Lane Bags, Infinite Twist, Knit Companion, our supporters, but most importantly, you, our listeners. Absolutely everything, and I mean everything we've talked about in this week's show notes can be found at knitmoregirlspodcast.com. You can send any comments, questions, or feedback to me, Jasmine, Jasmin, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
Or me, Gigi, Gigi, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, Spotify, Pandora Podcasts, iTunes, and pretty much everywhere as Knit More Girls. If you haven't already joined our Ravelry group, you totally should. It's full of fantastic people and great conversation. Remember, this is Jasmine
and Gigi
telling you to knit more.